Saturday Night Theatre. We present James Kenny, William Eagle, and Carlton Hobbs in Counsel for the Defense, a new play for radio dramatized by Felix Felton from the novel by Geoffrey Ashford. The action begins in a country town not far from London, where on the corner of the High Street is the main branch of a bank. Inside this afternoon are a nearby greengrocer, two ladies, and an elderly man.
£5, please.
In one?
Yes, please.
The way they keep you waiting.
It's that old man who had the bag. Come for some firm's wages or something.
Why don't they keep one cashier for the private customers?
Oh, don't fret, Marion. We're next.
£14,400 in notes and £25, 4 shillings in silver. There you are, Mr. Brain.
Thank you, Mr. Conan.
It's a bit heavy, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, I can manage.
Here, hang on, Mr. Brain. You haven't locked it.
Oh, dear me. I must be dreaming.
See that, Marion? He didn't even lock it. Why don't they use younger men?
Why don't they send the money anyway?
The car's waiting for you outside, I hope, Mr. Brain.
Just around the corner. They can't park in the High Street.
Now, you've got the chain on all right?
Yes, thank you. See you next week, Mr. Conan.
It's good afternoon. Now, ladies.
£5, please.
Certainly.
Thank you. Marion, that old man. I don't think he's well. He's stopped at the door.
Come on, Edith. Let's see he gets to his car.
Yes, of course. Look, someone's trying to snatch that poor old man's money.
Oh, thank heavens. Here's a police car right on the spot for once. Let's go over.
No, there may be shooting.
Don't be silly. There's one of the police from the car. My word, he was quick. He's got the thief already. Come on.
All right, you. We saw the whole thing. Put him in the car, boys. Come on, with us. Are you all right, sir?
Yes, thank you, officer. The bag was on a chain. Oh, thank heavens you were there.
I'm afraid we'll have to ask you to come along with us just for a few minutes or so. Then we'll drive you wherever you were going.
Oh, thank you.
Perhaps you'll get in the back, sir. Yeah. Here.
Inspector, a police car's been found abandoned.
A police car? Abandoned?
Yes, sir. In Lover's Woods, south of the river.
Where are the men?
I don't know, sir. There's an old man in the car, unconscious, badly beaten up, and 3 police uniforms.
Lay me on a car at once. I'd better get down there.
Yes, sir.
What's the verdict, Doc?
Oh, hello, Inspector. Alive, but only just. Head injury severe and obviously the result of a severe coughing. Whether he survives or not's in the hands of the gods.
Do we know who he is?
Well, there's not much doubt he's William Brain.
Married?
I think so.
Better warn the wife. Prepare for the worst.
Okay.
How are things going, Sergeant?
No fingerprints inside, Inspector. I'll give the car a more thorough going over when I get it back.
Anything besides the uniforms?
A dirty handkerchief and a rough cloth glove.
Get them all down to the lab. We'll see if they can make anything of them. I'm Garrett. You look after the car. I'd better get back and report to the superintendent.
Come in, Bill.
You've heard about it, sir.
Yes, and I've got news for you. They've found our 3 men.
Oh, where?
Down at the old laundry, the one that was burnt out. There was a phony call saying 2 men had been seen there fighting with knives. Our boys went and were beaten up. They were found in their underclothes, bound, gagged, coshed, and covered with blood.
How are they?
Pretty bad, Tiggett especially. Bill, this is a mess.
You can say that again.
It was a clever bit of planning, which doesn't help us any. One of them appeared to try to commit the robbery. Then the other 3, dressed as policemen, turned up to catch the thief red-handed. People watching thought the whole thing was under control and didn't report anything to anyone. It beats me.
Yes.
Why was the driver of the firm's car parked around the corner instead of where he ought to have been?
It's no parking in front of the bank.
Whoever heard of a motorist taking any notice of a little thing like that? press have got the story, I suppose.
You bet they have.
We come out of it as real Charlies, don't we? We fall for a false alarm, three of our men are knocked out, and then to crown it all, their uniforms are used to carry out a robbery of 15,000 quid. Bill, we've got to turn the heat on.
The police must have pretty red faces down in somewhere or other.
Oh? Why?
Well, some thugs knocked out three of them, borrowed the uniforms, and cleaned up 15,000 from a bank.
Oh, read it, Daddy.
No, Jane, there's no time. You must get off to school. It's 20 past.
I expect there's another bus strike on.
There wasn't 5 minutes ago when I went outside for the milk.
Oh, all right, then.
I wish you didn't hate that school so.
Well, I wish we could afford to send it to a better one. Still, if you will marry an impoverished young barrister who has to sit around in chambers all day waiting for someone to employ him.
Oh, don't be silly.
Now, I get so tired of sitting there, thanking old Doyle for cups of tea and watching the others do their crosswords.
Do stop worrying. You see, very soon you'll have so much work you wish you'd been left alone.
I hope you're right.
Tell me about this robbery, David.
Usual thing. Wage snatch. But the police take a pretty poor view when their own people are beaten up. They may look a slow lot, but believe me, when they're really onto something, they grind exceeding small.
Well, Bill, how's it going?
I think we're beginning to get somewhere, sir.
About time, too. Did you see the leader in the local paper?
I certainly did.
What's come up, then?
The forensic science people have been through about that handkerchief. There's a laundry mark, and the laundries say it was sent by someone of the name of Younger in Risdon Crescent. Garrett's gone round there now.
Yes, sir.
Tell Sergeant Garrett to come straight in here when he gets back, will you?
Yes, sir.
Anything else?
Yes. That lump of mud that was found in the car. We've had the lab breakdown on that. Horse dung, chicken dung, peat moss, and thortycentian clay.
Well?
Old John says there's a belt of this particular clay south of the river, and the peat moss and the dung are what keen gardeners give it to lighten it.
Well, it's a line. What gets my goat is that Tickett and Co. can't help us more.
Well, they only saw the men who attacked them for a moment before they were coshed. And they were wearing nylon stockings over their faces.
They don't seem to have put up much of a fight.
Well, they didn't have a chance. They were not groggy before they knew what was what.
They ought to have had their wits about them from the beginning.
It's easy to say that now, sir.
You're not suggesting, Bill, that I compliment them and give them a signed certificate, are you?
No, sir.
Come in.
Instructions to come straight up, sir.
Shut the door, Garrett. And tell me what you found out.
I saw the wife, sir, Mrs. Younger. The husband was out on duty. He's a bus driver. I showed her the handkerchief. She says it's her husband's, but she knows he was on his bus that afternoon. I have to check that for the bus station.
Why was the handkerchief out of his possession, then?
Well, she thinks one of the lodgers may have taken it.
Lodgers?
Yes, she always has two or three, and she says she doesn't check the handkerchiefs properly, or she'd have missed it before. So I asked her if she ever suspected any of the lodgers of stealing things. She hummed and awed a bit, and then said that there was one she'd had her eye on, though she'd never called him up to anything. He's not there anymore, and she couldn't remember his name till we looked at her guest book. It was Clover. George Clover. I've got the whole list here.
Have them check in records. The chap Clover and all the others. Here. Wait a minute. George Clover. That rings a bell. A man of that name went down not so long ago for armed robbery. I remember the case well. Knocked a tradesman over the head who was taking the week's cash to the bank. He ought to have landed 5 years, but the judge went soft in the head and only gave him 18 months. Clover. It's a bit of a long shot, but something tells me it's not too long.
I'll get on to records at once, sir.
Get the file photograph, find out where he is and what he's doing.
I think we're getting warm, sir.
Oh?
Clover works for Old Pointer, the market gardener on the south side of the river. I've been down there. He confirms that his soil is that particular clay and that he feeds it with dung and peat moss. And also, that Clover took the day off on the 17th.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
We've got further than that, sir. Wright had a hunch that someone might have been down by the river when they dumped the police car with Brain inside it. He's been talking to everybody who takes regular walks.
Any luck?
Not till today. But now he's found an elderly lady, Miss Weston, exercising her dog. She remembers seeing two cars there, a black one and a red one. She saw three men walk from the black one to the red one and drive off.
Which way did the red car go?
Towards Woodhorn.
Did she get the number?
No.
Nah.
But she's absolutely certain it was a Radley, the first model after the introduction of the overhead valve engine.
How the devil did she know that?
Her father was mad about cars and brought her up to be.
Thank God for fathers.
Yes, sir. It's beginning to look all right, isn't it, sir?
Not bad. What about the others?
Clover's got two cronies called Enton and Green. Can't get a line on a fourth man, though. Given a bit more spade work, I think we'll haul in the three.
Hello, Wright. Just been hearing about your towpath lady.
We've had another break, sir.
Such as what?
You know we've had to go at the car hire firms. There's one in Jordan Street which let out a red Radley on the evening of the 16th, which was returned on the 18th. The manager identified Clover out of a dozen photos.
With no hesitation?
None whatsoever.
And the model?
Mark 8, sir. The first of the overhead valve job.
Well done, boys. That's it.
Mr. Casgo is here to see you, Mr. Adams.
No, thank you, Doyle.
Shall I show him in, sir?
Yes, I'm always pleased to see a solicitor. And try and take that pained look off your face.
I hope my expression is completely non-committal, sir.
On the contrary, it leaves little doubt of your opinion of Mr. Casgo.
The gentleman in question is, I will admit, sir, not the kind of gentleman I should choose to do business with if there were any choice in the matter.
The man's offering me a brief.
There are times, sir, when I fear that commercialism has spread even to the bar. Excuse me, sir. Mr. Adams will see you now, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. Casgo.
Good morning. Do come in.
Oh, morning to you, Mr. Adams. Not a bad one either.
Have a chair. And what about some tea?
Oh, I was ready for a cover. You could plant me in the middle of my own grave and I'd be ready for a cover.
Thank you, Doyle. Cigarette?
Oh, thanks. Don't mind if I do. We've all got to die sometime, that's what I say. Read the papers in this case, I suppose.
Yes, I have.
What's the verdict?
Well, the police evidence is pretty conclusive, even if it is largely circumstantial. They might have stood a chance before the three of them talked to the police, but now...
Just how I feel. When I saw Clover, I said, lad, why didn't you keep your large mouth shut? Don't you know that 90% of you boys talk yourself into prison? If he goes down, he can't blame anybody but himself. And I wouldn't be betting on anything this side of 10 years.
Nor would I.
I said to Clover, I said, look at the evidence you left lying around. While you were about it, why didn't you invite the boys in blue along to watch you?
Have the accused been able to help at all?
We didn't do it, they sing. I said to them, right, you didn't do it. Now give me some proof of that. Proof, Clover says? What kind of proof? Proof you didn't do it, I yell at him. I almost broke down and wept. Oh, blimey, it's hot in here. Do you mind if I take my coat off?
By all means. Oh.
Both milk and sugar are present, sir.
Oh. Sugar, Mr. Casco?
As much as you like. Can't be too sweet for me. You've got to die sometime.
Anything more, sir?
No, thank you, Doyle. No.
What's wrong with him?
Oh, nothing. What were you saying?
Where was I? Oh, yes, I said to these beauties, look, boys, you're in a tight spot and no mistake. Now, put your heads together and tell me how we're to go about proving you didn't do it. Green looks at Enton. Enton looks at Clover. And Clover says, but ain't that your job?
Did he indeed?
He did, as true as I'm sitting here. Now, what do you do with men like that? Well, have you any bright ideas? I haven't. But then I never do. I'm not clever. My father said to me, Reg, me boy, you haven't enough brains to be really dishonest. You'd better become a solicitor. I always thought the world of my father, so I took his advice. Whenever I want something clever done, I come running to one of you chaps. And here I am.
Yes. I'm afraid they're for it if they don't produce a story that holds water.
I begged them with tears in my eyes to tell them the truth. The kind of truth that would help us, that is. Did they? Not them. Born stupid.
I'd better see them, I suppose.
See Clover. That's why I've come to you. He's a nice lad, really, when you get to know him. Come up and have a conference with him, and perhaps you'll get some ideas. Of course, you can talk to the other two if you want to, but you'll only end up by wanting to knock their heads together. I'll fix it up with your clerk, shall I? I'll meet you at the station and take you to the prison.
Mr. Adams.
I am.
My name is Junta, sir, Mr. Casco's chief clerk.
Oh, isn't he turning up?
He's suffering from a slight cold, and for fear it might turn to bronchial pneumonia, has retired to bed, sir.
Sorry to hear it.
Shall we proceed to the prison? The taxis are this way.
Good morning, Mr. Clover. I want to ask you some questions.
Got a fax?
Yes.
Match.
Now, Mr. Clover, to begin with, let's face up to one thing. Matters haven't been made any easier by the statements you, Enton, and Green have made to the police.
Well, the bogey's Midas talk.
Oh? How?
I kept asking questions. I don't go for questions. They make me mad.
Did they make any promises or threats?
Threaten me? Don't make me laugh.
Then why did you feel compelled to make any statement?
I just told you.
You'd have stood a much better chance if you'd remained silent.
I'll tell you, I couldn't. Questions, questions, all the time. I'm going to stuff them down their throats with my bare hands.
Yes. Well, you can't deny you obtained a car on the 16th from a firm in Jordan Street called Hire a Car, can you?
No.
Was it a Red Radley?
Yeah.
Now, on the 17th, did you and Harry Enton, in fact, drive away from the house in which you were lodging at about 1 o'clock?
Yeah.
You told the police you dropped Enton when you reached the old bridge, and that you didn't see him again until you were on your way back from a pleasure drive. That you then met both Enton and Green, picked them up, and all three of you returned to your house where you were seen to embark at 3:16.
Yeah.
Well, that sort of statement is going to play hell with the jury unless you fill it out. They want to know why you went on the drive, where you went, and how it happened that you met Enton and Green on your return, and so on.
Now, you tell me what's best.
I can only use the material you give me.
Lie off that. You tell me what's best to say.
Clover, any evidence brought out by me at the trial can only be evidence as given by you.
Stop giving me that stuff. You know why you've been hired? To get me off. I'm ready to pay for that.
Look, will you please listen?
Listen to me. Casco said your price was high. I told him that was square with me if you did what you was being paid for. Now do it.
I feel it's time to point out that I am not a sack of potatoes.
Yeah, get wise to yourself, go-go. You reckon we waste good bees and honey on a slump like you for nothing? Listen, mug. Me, Tom and Harry did a sweet job. 15,000 near as a spit. And what happens? The long-tailed snoopers get busy and say, where was you? What was you doing? Who's with that blood on your scalp? Where's the fourth man? Where's the 15,000? And would we be good boys and tell them so as they could put on the palsy act and try to see we don't spend too much time inside? Yeah, I told them nuts. I ain't allowed to hit us, so they just said I was going down for a long stay instead. So I told Casco I wanted one of you curly locks. Hello? Going somewhere in a hurry?
I don't suppose you've ever heard of the rules of conduct of the bar.
Rules of which?
Ridiculous to ask. You don't know any rules at all. Let me try to explain something. Counsel are called upon to do two things in a criminal trial. Prosecute and defend. When we defend, we are either representing a guilty or an innocent man. If the prisoner states unequivocally that he is guilty, counsel cannot defend him on a plea of not guilty, which he knows to be false. The most he can do is to carry out a plea in mitigation of sentence.
Your belly's full of wind.
Well, I doubt if anything I can say will have much effect. You injured four men, three of whom were policemen.
Well, I shed no tears for them.
If you wish to plead not guilty, you must get someone else to defend you.
You're my mouthpiece.
I have made the position clear.
Listen, I told Gasco I wanted you. For why? Because you're the tops. I've got money, I'll pay for the best, like always.
I'm flattered, but hardly converted.
You got legs off.
Legs?
He was a Johnson.
Legs Johnson?
No, Mug. Legs lived on women. He thought he was going down for a deuce, but you got him off. Legs said you was the tops.
That was a fluke. The indictment had been drawn up wrongly. It never got to court.
It don't make no difference, Gogo. You're the boy for me.
Goodbye, Clover. Well, things seem more natural out here, don't you think so, Mr. Junta?
Natural?
Didn't you get the impression that Clover was a small packet of evil?
No, I didn't.
I'm sorry things have turned out like this. You'll explain to Mr. Casco why I've had to drop the case, won't you?
Yes.
Tell him I hope his cold soon gets better.
I will.
Well, I'll get back to the station. If I've got the times right, I can catch a fast train in half an hour.
That's so.
Goodbye.
Hello?
Hello, darling. Oh, what sort of a day did you have?
Lousy.
Train not comfortable?
Ever travel in one that was?
Well, you certainly come back in a prickly mood.
I'm sorry.
Apology accepted. Come in and sit down and tell me why you've come back like a bear with a sore head.
Well, the case went sour on me.
Oh, no.
Afraid so. I saw this man, Clover, and if ever I've seen a nastier piece of work, I've forgotten the occasion. He thought you bought counsel by the yard.
He seems to have left an impression on you.
What I can't understand is why didn't Casco tell me?
What about the others? Were they as bad?
I didn't see them. Casco insisted it was only worth speaking to Clover.
Do you think they did do the robbery?
Oh, yes. Clover boasted how clever they were.
Frank, anyway.
You've missed the point. Since he told me he did it, I can't defend him on a plea of not guilty.
What's it matter what he told you in private? You're not going to pass it on.
Knowing he's guilty, I'm not allowed to defend him.
So what happens?
I've chucked the case.
I see. How much has that lost us?
The brief hasn't been delivered yet.
I'm glad to hear you've started to do so well that you can afford to throw away money.
It's the principle of the thing.
You can't eat principles.
Do try to understand, Gwen. I can't disregard a rule, if never I wanted to. Besides, you haven't seen Clover. There's something filthy about him.
More filthy than that man you defended who was living off the earnings of half a dozen prostitutes?
No.
There's Jane. Let her in, will you? I'll go and start supper.
Hello. How was school?
Horrible.
Oh, dear. Come in and tell me all about it. Oh, what was the trouble today?
Oh, same as usual. That awful food. And Miss Gore's got her corn again. Why isn't the radio on?
Because we didn't want it.
Oh, Daddy, you are funny.
Yes, Doyle?
You haven't seen Mr. Farmer, have you, sir?
No, he hasn't been in chambers all morning.
Hello? It's Mrs. Adams, sir.
Thank you. Hello?
David, is that you?
Gwen, what's the matter?
Can you hear me, David? Something has happened to Jane.
What has?
I got a telephone call.
What telephone call?
I've just told you.
You haven't?
Can't you ever stop arguing?
Gwen... What has happened?
There was a telephone call. A man told me to get in touch with Jane's school to see how she was getting on. And that when I'd done it, I was to contact you and say you weren't to talk to anyone.
Have you spoken to the school?
She never arrived there this morning. They thought she must be ill.
Why didn't they check with you immediately?
I don't know. Oh, David, I'm frightened.
I'm coming back at once. Sit down. Here, smoke this. What was the telephone message?
I told you.
Man or woman?
Man.
What kind of a voice? Educated, uneducated, pleasant, unpleasant?
He sounded a swine. Oh, what could have happened? David, who can it be?
Did he say he was going to ring again?
No. What are you going to do?
I don't know. How can I until I hear more?
You always want to wait. This is one time you've got to act right away.
What can we do until we know the facts? Talk sense. Hello?
Is that David Adams?
Yes.
Get the news yourself.
So far?
Glad to hear you're not moonblind.
Who are you?
What's he saying?
Be quiet, I must listen to him.
Hey, Charlie. Gone for a walk round the block?
I'm here.
I've got your daughter. Nice kid, isn't she? Bit young, maybe, for a piece of jewelry. enjoy, but some people prefer them that way. Me? I'm not particular. You've got that, haven't you?
Yes.
Now listen, Gogo, here's the pitch. You get the boys free and your little girl comes back to you sweet as a daisy. You don't get the boys off and she won't never be the same.
Now, listen to me.
And another thing. That trial's due in a few days. See, it don't get put off or the little girl will get her first lesson.
I can't control the day of the trial.
Don't you love your little daughter?
I tell you, it's...
You get them off, that's all.
What is it?
The Clover case. He must be the fourth man. He's kidnapped Jane to force me to get the others off.
But you said nothing could save them.
Yes.
Then how can you get them off?
I can't.
Then, if it's impossible, how can they expect you to?
No one's taught them to be logical.
What's going to happen to Jane if they're found guilty?
Have you any imagination? Use it.
She's such a kid.
She's not kid enough.
You've got to get in touch with the police.
If the man thinks a police search has started, he's going to fix Jane. Besides, the police will want the trial postponed, and the man said that if it is, Jane will get her first working over. The police won't find her quickly enough to stop it.
You mean there's nothing we can do?
That's it.
You can't just sit there and calmly admit Jane's going to be...
I'm not calm.
Then do something.
What?
Dave, isn't there a chance you could get the men off?
No jury on earth could be stupid enough not to convict.
David, what are we going to do?
I'll see Clover.
Well, well, well. If it isn't a Curly Locks again. All the way from London.
Clover, I had to see you to try and explain the...
Let's have some smokes. Come on, a packet. A generous sort. I like you, Gogo.
Will you please listen?
You and me could become drinking pals. You'd work with that, wouldn't you?
Oh, please stop.
Now, when I first saw you in this room, I said to myself, Georgie, he might be a bit toshy, but I forget to know him. He'd turn out nothing but friendly. You're the kind of person I like.
Clover, I want...
Tell you something, Daddy-o. People don't know me, and what I don't know what calls me Clover. Puffballs in Blue calls me Clover.
Well, you ain't the police.
You're a friend come here today, ready and willing to be all friendly. You call me Georgie, same as all my other friends do.
I find Clover more natural.
I said call me Georgie. Tell me you've got a little girl who's going to grow up into a nice hugging wish. She'd be happier if you and me was pals, wouldn't she?
Yes, George.
Sounds better, doesn't it? Now, you tell me your friendly name.
David.
Hello, son, and David. You and me wasn't as friendly as we might have been last time, was we, eh? Wasn't going to defend me and the others, was you? I guess you've come down today to apologize to me and say there ain't nothing you'd rather do than help me and the others. How's that for a guess?
Quite good.
Daddy, oh, that really ain't a way to apologize for all them things you said about me. How about doing it proper?
I'm sorry if I said anything to upset you.
And now you're going to do everything you can to help me and the others?
Yes.
You make me happy, Gogo. I'll sleep better tonight. I'll be worrying myself inside, wondering what I've done to annoy you. So long, then.
Don't go yet. I want to talk to you about Jane.
Jane?
My daughter.
Oh, no, I didn't know you had a daughter. I bet she's just my couple when she's all tarted up. I like some soft and with plenty to cuddle. What's she got to cuddle, David?
Shut up!
Oh, what have I said to make you angry? And his friends. I don't do nothing to my friends but try and make them happy.
Please, try and see reason. Look,
I'm defending you, but that doesn't mean I can work miracles. I can't do better for you than my best. Using Jane as a hostage will only hinder me.
Seems to me at first you wasn't going to look after me and the boys.
Oh, yes, but that was because...
And now you're going to do all you can?
Yes.
Seems to me your little girl's made quite a difference already.
You've got what you wanted. I'm defending you, although I shouldn't. But I can't alter the evidence. I can't force the jury to vote as I want them. All I can do is try and influence them. And knowing what may be happening to Jane means I can't give of my best. I'm worrying myself sick. So let her go. I swear I'll do everything I can for you in court.
Of course you will. You and me's friends. Friends help each other.
Well, you see she's let go.
Me? I don't know what you're talking about.
I can't change the evidence. I can't change the evidence.
Just you defend us and get us off. Because then we can stay friends like we are now. Hey, Senior. I'll tell the boys how nice and friendly you've been and now you'll be working on our side. So long, Daddy.
Hopeless. He wouldn't listen to a thing I said.
Oh. Suppose I go and see him, David.
You, I wouldn't let you near him.
Why not?
He's Bill.
What does it matter what he is? It's Jane.
He was laughing at me all the time. He was enjoying every moment because he had me crawling to him.
I'd crawl around until I was dizzy if I thought it would help Jane. What makes you think you're more important than your own daughter?
You've got it all wrong.
I've got nothing wrong.
I'm sorry. I just can't help it. Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
I drove away in a red Radley from the house where I was lodging. And Enton was with me, but I had dropped him by the old bridge. And went on for a ride. When I came back, I saw Enton and Tom Green.
Hudson is on the telephone, sir.
What's worrying him?
He wants the papers in the Murdoch case, sir.
They aren't ready yet.
You've had them several days, sir, and when they first came, they were marked urgent.
I haven't had the time.
You haven't been all that busy, sir.
Tell them the work isn't done, and they'll be lucky if they get it this side of next year.
You'd better do the papers now, sir.
Look, I've had enough to do with this robbery case.
I'm even more surprised you can find any work to do in that case, sir, than that you decided to handle it after all.
What I do is my own business.
Sometimes, sir, the good of the chambers is of some importance.
I did have a case with me, but it was empty. And I can't remember why I had it with me. With regard to the blood on my head, I cut myself with my own razor while I was shaving.
David, can't you stop? It's long after 12.
You'll go to sleep.
My mind won't let me.
Did you take those sleeping pills?
If I can't sleep without those things, I'd rather stay awake.
Oh, that's stupid.
No more stupid than going over and over those notes.
The case is tomorrow. Today, in fact. I've still got time to find some hint of false evidence.
David, what do you think now?
The same as before.
Will you have to call the prisoners?
I might be able to persuade the jury that there's no case to answer.
Then the stories they told the police won't come out.
Of course they will. The police will give them.
But then how can you hope to win?
I can only hope to show they were so upset by the police that they didn't know what they were saying.
Why should they have been if they weren't guilty?
I don't need you to underline the difficulties.
How do you think they're treating her? I feel so hopeless, it makes me choke. Oh, God.
I cut myself with my own razor when I was shaving, so somehow some of the blood must have got up there. I didn't go to work because it was such a fine day.
Yes, Mr. Prime. Members of the jury, the case you have to try today is one that has, as you know, had a great deal of publicity. Before anything else, you must forget all that you have heard about it, all that you have read about it, and judge solely by what you hear in this court. Members of the jury, the Crown says that the men in the dock, together with one or more persons unknown, committed a robbery accompanied by a high degree of violence on the 17th of last month. At about 2 o'clock on that afternoon, Mr. William Brain, who acts as general messenger for a large engineering firm, went to the bank to collect the money for the weekly wages of the staff.
Hello, Adams. Oh, hello, Scott. How long is this lot going to take? 2 days, perhaps. As much as that. Well, it won't be less. You've got a job and a half if you hope to do any good for this bunch of thugs.
Yes.
I take it they've got previous records.
Quite good ones.
And old Leeming will send them down for a real stinger. The last time he was on circuit here, he dished out 10-year sentences as if they were so many months. Are you certain my case won't be heard till Tuesday?
Near positive.
Thanks.
This lady was walking with her dog along the river bank. On the outskirts of a small wood, known as Lover's Wood, she saw two cars, one of which she will identify as a red Radley. More than that, members of the jury, she will identify it as the Mark 8 model, the first to be fitted with an overhead valve engine. She saw three men walk towards the Radley and drive away in the direction of Woodhorn. Members of the jury, I will now call the evidence for the prosecution. Mr. Conan, please.
Mr. Conan.
Mr. Conan, are you a cashier at the bank on the corner of High Street and Queen Street?
I am.
Do you know Mr. William Brain?
Yes.
Did you see him on the 17th of last month?
Yes. He came to the bank and drew a large sum of money, as he does each Thursday.
Do you remember how much he drew on that occasion?
£14,425, 4 shillings.
What happened?
He gave me the check. I packed the money into his case, like I always did, and then I gave it back to him.
What happened then?
He clipped the chain to himself and left.
Thank you, Mr. Conan.
No questions.
Mr. Brain, your witness doesn't seem to be here.
My lord, the witness was well aware of the date and time of the trial. I am at a loss to account for his absence.
I take a serious view of this.
Of course, my lord.
I think you'd better proceed with your case, Mr. Pride. And when the witness turns up, we will inquire into the reasons why he was unable to be here on time.
Very well, my lord.
Mr. Pride, sir.
What is it this time, Mr. Pride?
My lord, the constable has informed me that he understands from the wife of the missing witness that her husband has disappeared.
Disappeared?
Yes, my lord. It appears that he went out early yesterday evening and has not returned.
This is ridiculous. Will you take steps, Mr. Pryor, to see that police inquiries are conducted with all possible speed?
Certainly, my lord.
Meanwhile, you had better continue with any of your witnesses that are available.
Yes, my lord. Dr. Mortimer.
Dr. Mortimer,
would you please describe Mr. Brain's condition when you were summoned to him?
He had severe cuts and bruising and was suffering from shock and concussion.
Were you able to form any ideas as to what sort of weapon might have caused such injuries?
I can say no more than a blunt instrument. Very probably some form of cough.
Were the injuries extensive?
Not in area, but in their nature. By that, I mean it was clear that he had been hit over and over again.
Did this suggest anything to you?
The injuries were consistent with an attempt at killing.
How long was that patient in hospital?
He was discharged after 3 weeks.
Thank you, Doctor.
Doctor, you suggested that the intention of those who attacked Mr. Brain was to kill.
That is so.
And you estimate the weapon used to have been some form of kosh?
Quite.
Would you not think that if the attackers had really meant to kill, they would have used some other and more lethal weapon?
No, sir. A Korsh is a very effective murder weapon when it is used scientifically.
Well, that, of course, is a matter of opinion.
Yes, sir. But having twice tried ineffectively to save the lives of other men battered by Koshes, I think my opinion rests on fairly substantial grounds.
That's all, thank you. Miss Weston, what were you doing on the afternoon of the 17th?
I was walking Billy, my dog, along the riverbank. I can't say we were making much progress because Billy was so interested in the rat hole.
While you were there, did you notice anything strange?
At one point in my walk, I looked towards Dines Wood.
That is, I believe, popularly known as Lover's Wood.
The name on the ordnance survey map is Dines Wood. I saw there are two cars. Three men walked from the black one towards the second car. I suppose they were halfway across when one of them turned back and threw a bundle of something into the back. Then he joined the others, and they all got into the second car and drove off in the direction of Woodhorn.
Can you tell us what make of car this second one was?
It was a red Radler, the first model to be brought out with the overhead valve engine.
That is, I believe, the Mark 8 model.
I don't know what number it's been given.
Miss Weston, for someone who had no reason to take particular notice of what was happening, you seem to have observed a great deal.
On the contrary. Had I known I was watching something of importance, I'd have paid a great deal more attention.
Very well. I want now to deal with your description of the red car you saw. You say it was the first of the Radleys to be equipped with the overhead valve engine.
That is so.
You claim not only to be able to tell the make of a car at a distance, but also what model it was?
In this particular case, yes.
Oh, forgive my saying this, but it's rather an extraordinary claim for you to make.
I've been interested in cars from the day my father bought me one.
Would you claim to recognize on sight all cars on the roads today?
Oh, no, certainly not. Of course, that would be impossible.
But I gathered from what you said previously that you were claiming to be able to do the impossible.
The witness suggested nothing of the sort.
As your lordship pleases.
I will not have witnesses misquoted, either expressly or by implication.
Miss Weston, you have just admitted you cannot tell the model of every make of car.
I have.
Then how is it you were able to do so with this car?
I know the differences between certain of the radiator grills.
Very fortunate, isn't it? Could you have done the same with any other make of English car? Could you have said which model had which engine?
Almost certainly not.
What a fortunate coincidence that when it was important to be able to identify a car as closely as you claim to have been able to do, the car in question should be the one make you could identify.
Mr. Adams, the witness has testified on oath that she can tell the difference between certain of the models of this particular car. Unless you can prove to the contrary, you are not entitled to try to infer that she is not telling the truth.
My Lord, I'm surely entitled to try to show that what the witness claims is most unlikely.
I have already explained to you, Mr. Adams, what you are and what you are not allowed to do.
My Lord, I must insist that...
Counsel, do not insist in my court, Mr. Adams.
How far from the cars were you, Miss Weston?
I would estimate about 300 yards.
Is it not possible that at this distance, one car grill looks very like another?
In this particular instance, I think not.
But it could happen.
I should imagine that much would depend on one's eyesight.
Is yours at all at fault?
I have never found it to be.
You will not allow that there is a possibility you have made a mistake.
I think not.
Thank you, Miss Weston.
Was quite enough for one day. Yeah. Charming, these changing rooms, aren't they? They couldn't make them bleaker if they tried. You still reckon to get them off, David?
I suppose I shouldn't say so to prosecuting counsel, but I don't think I've got a hope, John.
The thing that shakes me is that you ever thought you would. Funny business about brain disappearing, wasn't it?
Yes.
I had a word with the police just now. They're not surprised he decided to do a vanishing trick.
Oh? Why?
Apparently they've been thinking for some time that Brain might have been in on the robbery.
Have they indeed?
Yes, they reckon he told Clover all the details of the money he would be drawing and also the best place to attack him.
Then why was he so badly knocked about?
Well, Clover probably decided he wanted all the money for himself and the others. Wasn't going to run the risk of having Brain talk under pressure. Well, see you Monday.
What happened?
The case is only half over.
Not finished? Have we got to wait till tomorrow?
Monday. The court doesn't sit during the weekend.
Monday? But Jane...
They'll wait till the end of the trial. They only threatened to act if the trial were postponed, not if it's stretched out over a weekend. Let's have a drink.
David, are you going to get them off?
I don't know.
You've got to.
I know.
Did you try?
Of course.
Well, then why haven't you?
I just told you, the trial hasn't finished.
Is the prosecution case a strong one?
Fairly.
But not impossible?
No.
Will they keep their promise and let Jane go when you get them off?
Of course.
Oh, I've just sat here all day thinking about Jane.
It's best to concentrate on something else.
Fathers don't usually care about their children. You don't, do you?
I mind every bit as much as you do.
Is the prosecution case strong?
Stop asking me the same questions over and over again.
I'm sorry, darling. You are going to win, aren't you?
Yes. 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 Marmalade, darling?
No, thank you. There's a long report of the trial in the morning paper.
Naturally.
You lied to me.
What do you mean?
You didn't do any good at all. I've been reading your cross-examinations.
Oh, I was never much good at that.
Good? That's a fine word to use. Your daughter's life depends on you, and you're still a failure.
I tried, Gwen.
He doesn't read like it.
You can't go by newspaper reports.
The only thing you've ever been any good at is making excuses. Did you fight at all?
I did my best.
Did you? Read the bit where it says how the judge told you to shut up and you took it like a lamb.
What else could I do?
Is he more important than your daughter? Is he? Oh, what have I married?
I'm going out.
David. No, David, don't. I didn't mean it. I don't know what I'm saying. Oh, David, come back. Don't leave me alone.
Mrs. Brain?
Yes?
I'm looking for your husband.
I don't know where he is.
I thought you might be able to help me find him.
I haven't seen him.
Haven't you any idea where he's gone?
He went out the night before last and never come back.
But hasn't he been in touch with you at all?
Not a word.
Haven't the police found out anything?
You're not the police?
No.
Who are you?
Counsel for the defense.
Oh. You'd best come in. You're against the police?
I suppose you could put it that way.
You swear you aren't lying to me?
Don't you recognize me? You must have seen me when you came into court.
I didn't see no one. You swear you're working for the prisoners?
I swear I am.
Oh, I'm near off my head with worry. I don't know what to do, where to go. Bill's been a different man just recently. Never seen one. No one so nervous. Shout and swear at me. That's something he's never done before.
This is since he got hurt?
Yes, but he was so terrible afraid as well.
And he wouldn't say what was wrong?
No, I tried to get him to tell me, but he wouldn't. And then this Thursday night, he couldn't stand it no more. Terrible danger he was in, he said, and he got to hide. Whatever happened, he wasn't turning up in that court. He was going to stay with Dora. That's my daughter. And on my life, I wasn't to let on to anyone.
Where does your daughter live?
Pan Road.
Oh. At what town?
This one. It's the next road along.
But haven't the police checked there?
Oh, I told them my daughter lived in London. She did till the end of last year.
What's her name?
Ash. Mrs. Ash. Go and see him. Find out what the trouble is, and if there isn't anything I can do, he may listen to you.
I'll do what I can.
Oh, he's been bad again the last few days. I tried to get him to see the doctor. Oh, I wish he'd never...
Well, thank you for telling me what's happened.
Oh, I've been wanting to speak to someone, but everyone was against me. These neighbors do you down if they can.
What's the number of your daughter's house?
70. You can't miss it. Not with its blue windows and doors. Yes?
Your mother, Mrs. Brain, suggested I came here.
Why?
To see if I could have a word with your father.
With Dad? Who told you he was here?
She did. I may be able to help him.
He'd help most by getting him out of this house. Does Mum think I haven't enough to do? Who asked him? That's what I want to know.
I'm afraid he must still be ill after that beating up from the bank robbery.
Why ain't he in his own house, then?
You're probably helping him a lot by having him here. Do you think I could see him?
You do just that. Tell him from me I'll be glad if he'll say when he reckons to move.
Which room is he in?
First landing on the right.
Thank you.
If he tries to tell you he's hungry, tell him he's got to wait, same as the rest of us.
Why haven't you... Who are you?
Don't be afraid. I'm not the police. I've just seen your wife. She suggested I should come here and talk to you.
You are the police.
No, I'm not. I'm counsel for the defense in the bank case. I'm trying to get Clover and the others off. I've come to you because I want to hear the true story.
Oh, I don't know nothing.
I suppose you realize that by now the police think you were in on the robbery.
It ain't true.
Not that they can prove anything as yet. I tell you this, though. If Clover and Co. get sent down, and they're pretty near, they'll take everyone else they can with them. So if you can tell me anything to help get them off, I should. Believe me, it'll pay you.
Oh, good headache. Don't leave me any peace. It was all Clover's fault. He talked me into it. I didn't have anything to do with it. Honest, I didn't. £1,000, he said, just to give a little help. And all I had to do was take a light tap on the head just to show I wasn't in on anything. Oh, thousands, a lot of money.
How right you are.
Oh, things were...
Here, have some water.
Things... worked out nice till we was inside the police car. And then Clover started hitting me with a cosh. I shouted at him not to hit so hard, but he laughed and went on hitting me like he was mad. And the swine meant to kill me.
He nearly succeeded.
Yeah. Oh, the hospital did me proud. But the police worried me sick. I kept telling them I didn't know nothing. And then they dragged me along to the police court. And all the time I was giving evidence... Clover was looking at me. He'd have finished me off then if he could have done. And then they got messages through about what they'd do to me if I messed things up in front of the judge. So I scalped. If no one knows where I am, they can't get nothing from me.
I see.
Why should Clover talk if he and the others are found guilty? It ain't fair. I ain't done nothing to give them away. Tell them it ain't fair.
Tell me, there were... four men in the robbery, weren't there?
Yes.
Who was the four?
I don't know.
You must.
I never seen the others, only Clover, until we was all in the car together. And then I didn't see much of them.
Don't you know his name? Wasn't he ever addressed by a Christian name or a nickname?
No. I don't know nothing of the Clover's daughter. The headache's getting worse. It's as if someone was... squeezing it in a vice.
Have you seen a doctor?
Not since I was sent back from hospital.
And you must call in one now.
I ain't seeing no one.
How long have you been getting these heads?
Ever since my eyes went back on me.
How do you mean?
Keep seeing two of everything.
Mr. Brain,
I'm going to tell your daughter that she ought to call someone in right away.
No, I tell you, I ain't seeing no one. Oh, I don't want people here, and that's it. Don't you send anybody in.
Well, what is that?
Mrs. Ash, your father's very ill.
So he keeps telling everyone.
You ought to call in a doctor right away. You can say Mr. Brain is your husband's father, or something like that, to stop his identity coming out.
What's Dad got to say about it?
Well, he doesn't want to see anyone.
That's good enough for me.
Mrs. Ash, I think the way you're... Oh, very well. I'm sorry to have troubled you. Perhaps one day you'll be ill yourself.
Here you are, sir. Yes, Clover. I'll be just outside.
Thank you. Clover. Sit down.
You aren't doing any good.
Agreed.
Your daughter won't be no good to look at if we get sent down.
I'm not forgetting.
Why don't you do something?
Such as?
I don't know. I ain't been paid to do the thinking.
Not even you, Clover, can run round facts.
You've got to do something. Listen, I've been inside enough times to make my record dirty. That old judge won't pat me on the back and tell me not to do it again.
Mr. Justice Leeming will be pleased to award you the maximum sentence he thinks will go unchallenged in a higher court.
Well, why ram it down my throat? Get out and earn your money and do something.
What do you suggest? Oh. Now, look here. Have you a memory? Of
course I have.
If I give you something to memorize, will you do it?
Why should I?
I thought you wanted to go free.
Get me off and I'll learn the old Bible by heart.
Right. Have you a friend outside who'll stick to his story if he's paid enough?
I'll give you a list of people who'd swear their own mother to the rope for a couple of hundred.
Will Anton and Green back you up?
I'll do what I tell them.
Very well. We have one chance.
What?
On Monday... you'll confess to armed robbery.
I ain't doing nothing of the sort. You're mad. I ain't confessing, do you hear me? Your daughter will get hers, I'm telling you. She'll get hers.
Not if you confess. Now keep quiet and listen carefully. One slip from either of us in court tomorrow and the balloon goes up. This is what you're going to say.
I swear by Almighty God, the evidence I'll give the court will be the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Is your name George Michael Clover, and have you recently been living at 5A Chandos Street?
Yes, I have.
And are you employed by Mr. Poynter, who runs a market garden?
That's right.
Mr. Clover, I want to start my examination by taking you back in time to the period when you boarded with a Mr. and Mrs. Younger at 25 Risdon Crescent. Do you know how long precisely you boarded at 25 Risdon Crescent?
I'm certain.
Was it a long time?
Shouldn't have said so.
Did you at any time while you were there obtain by any means whatsoever a handkerchief that was not yours?
No, I didn't.
How can you be so certain?
Oh, I never had handkerchiefs that weren't khaki. Bought them cheap from the surplus store.
So if at any time you found yourself in possession of a white handkerchief, you would know that it was not yours?
That's right. Never had no white ones.
Suppose you found that you had a white one in your possession. What would you do with it?
Well, I'd try and find out who it belonged to and give it back.
Let's move on in time. I want now to deal with the days between and including the 16th and 18th of last month. Did you, on the 16th, hire a car from the firm Hire a Car, who have their offices in Jordan Street?
I did.
Will you tell the court, please, why you hired this car?
I wanted to go for a drive the next day.
Was there no other purpose?
No. Why should it be?
Let us now move on to the 17th. Did you go to work on that day?
No.
Why not?
Well, I hadn't had a day off in months, and the old pointer don't never tell you to have a bit of time off, so if you want to break out, to take it.
You wanted a free day because you had been working so hard?
My lord, the prisoner did not say that.
I apologize. Mr. Clover, why did you want this day off?
Like I said, I've been working so hard I wanted a break and I'd hired this car to go round for a drive.
At what time did you leave in the car on the 17th?
It must have been about 1 o'clock.
Were you alone?
Well, my pal Harry Enton was along with me. I took him a little way towards town and then dropped him.
By the old bridge it was.
What happened after that?
I went for a drive.
Where?
In the country.
Did you go anywhere in particular?
Just wanted a drive. I didn't care where I went.
Have you any idea at what hour you returned?
Oh, sometime after 3. I drove back through town and I was passing a pub when I sees Tom and Harry. I stopped to talk to him and I gets in the car and we all go back to my place for a beer or two.
Were any of you carrying a suitcase on your return to your lodgings?
I was. I bought it because I wanted something like it and I saw this one going cheap.
What happened after that?
Oh, we had a beer or two, like I said. Don't ask me how many, because I don't remember.
You seem to have had a relatively quiet day.
They did.
Mr. Clover, when the police arrested you because they believed you were connected with the robbery, they searched you and found blood on your scalp. They asked you how it came there, and you said the blood was yours.
That's right.
You know, of course, that your own blood is Group A, and that the blood found was Group O. So that, in fact, it could not have come from you. If it was not yours, whose was it?
Honest, I don't know. That's straight. It's a real mystery to me. I thought I'd cut myself shaving.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Pryde?
If someone bleeds in your presence and some of that blood adheres to you, would you not expect to know how, when, and why? Well, wouldn't you?
I told you, I don't know how it got there.
Can you produce an acquaintance of yours who will go into the witness box and testify that he or she had been injured in your presence and that some of his or her blood could have come in contact with you?
I'll keep telling you, I don't know how it got there.
Are you really asking the jury to believe that?
Well, it's true, isn't it?
I think perhaps we should move on. Tell the jury, please, as accurately as possible, how many times in an average year you hire a car for the purpose of a pleasure drive?
Not very often.
Would you claim it were as often as a dozen times?
No.
3 times? 2 times? Or is it the truth that this is the first occasion on which you have ever hired a car?
Yes.
So, this is the first time. Would you tell me why you decided to hire a car?
I wanted to go out and see the country.
Would you care to try and explain how it was? You had this sudden and unique desire to go forth and enjoy the pleasures of nature.
Because I wanted to.
You felt you had to get into the open and enjoy the sunshine.
What's so funny about that?
I thought you worked in the open, in a market garden.
I told you what happened.
You will control yourself.
When did you go along to hire a car and book this car?
I don't remember.
Would you dispute that it was on the 1st of last month?
If you say so.
When you booked this car on the 1st, how were you able to be so certain, in our extremely changeable climate, that it would be fine and sunny on the 17th?
I didn't say I was.
I thought you just agreed that the main reason for your drive was to get out into the countryside and enjoy the sunshine. What would have happened if it had been raining on the 17th? You have said that you left the house at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's right.
And you returned not long after 3.
Yeah.
You weren't away very long. Did you not enjoy your drive through the countryside as much as you'd hoped?
Why were you away for so short a period?
Very well.
You enjoyed a car journey that took about 2 hours. Will you tell the jury where you went?
In the country.
And that, unfortunately, covers a large area. What I want to hear from you is whether you went north or south, east or west, whether you drove throughout the 2 hours or whether you stopped anywhere. And if so, when and for how long?
I ain't going to answer.
Why not?
I ain't going to do myself in.
Did you, in fact, go anywhere near the country?
I told you I did.
Then answer the question. Whereabouts did you go?
I ain't saying.
You will answer the question.
I can't send myself down.
What are you talking about?
It would seem, my lord, that the accused is refusing to answer the question because he believes he will criminate himself.
This is quite ridiculous, Mr. Adams. You must be aware that a prisoner giving evidence in his own trial has absolutely no privilege against criminating himself as to the accusation.
I know that, my lord, but does the prisoner?
You will answer the question learned counsel has put to you.
I went to Stanton.
And what were you doing there between 1:30 and 2:45, allowing that the journey from here to there takes half an hour?
I was trying to rob a bloke called McMenton.
Do you say you were trying to rob a man called McMenton who lives in the town of Stanton on Thursday the 17th of last month at some time between 1 and 3:16?
Yeah.
Please give the court the full details.
I ain't talking. You'll send me down for it.
By a fortunate turn of events, insofar as you are concerned, Clover, whatever evidence you now give us to this attempted robbery, such evidence may not again be used in any court because I forced you to give such evidence and you did not volunteer it. Put more simply, if this second robbery proves to be fact, there is no one who can charge you with it on the evidence you now give.
You can't do me for it?
The law cannot accuse you on the evidence of your admission.
Well, that's a bit of all right.
You will kindly refrain from any comment. Mr. Pride, we must endeavor to discover the validity or otherwise of this story.
Of course, my lord.
I think it would be more to the point, if perhaps a little exceptional, if Mr. Adams continued as though conducting a further examination in chief. That will give you, Mr. Pride, the opportunity to cross-examine.
Clover, will you tell the court in your own words what actually happened on the afternoon in question?
Oh, it's like this, see? I knew of an easy touch in Stanton. An old killer who always has plenty of money around that he didn't pay into the bank until Saturdays. I've got a car to go up and do the job.
So when you originally hired the car, you were then contemplating a robbery?
Well, not the one that landed me here. I got a car see and left home at 1 o'clock, just like the old girl said. Harry Anton was with me at first, but I dropped him off at the old bridge and carries on because I was doing the job on my own, see? Well, I drives up to Stanton, cases the grocer's shop. When there ain't no one else inside, I goes in and starts to have a word with the old kilter, the older Scotsman, McMenton.
Have you any idea what time this was?
Oh, I don't know. The clock outside had done some talking, but I don't remember what it was all about.
You entered the grocer's shop. What then?
Well, the place was empty except the old man. So, come on, I says, let's have a look at the money and takes a nice number of cushions out of my pocket. He starts to yell blue murder, so I taps him one and makes his head bleed. And he fights like he was straight out of the corner. I get scared, grabs a suitcase, what was near the till, stuffs some money from the till into my pocket and scarpers before the flatties get around to ask me what I'd like to eat for my dinner.
And what then?
Well, I drives back quick, picks up Harry and Tom, like I told you. He all goes back to my room for drinks. When they're gone, I has a look to see what I've picked up.
And what had you succeeded in stealing?
6 quid and a few old clothes. Not worth crossing the street for.
What did you do with the clothing?
Burned it, along with a suitcase.
Mr. Pride, I hope you will agree with me that the circumstances being what they are, we should endeavor to ascertain what proof, if any, exists of the accused story before we continue.
I do so agree, my lord.
The best course, in my opinion, is to ask the police to ascertain whether any complaint was made to them in Stanton on the day in question, and to interview Mr. McMenton.
Quite so, my lord.
If this latter gentleman offers the slightest corroboration of Clover's story, then we must request that he be brought here so that we may question him.
Yes, my lord.
That being so, I fear we must adjourn.
Let me give evidence. I tell you, I'm the man he's talking about.
Keep quiet there, will you?
Why won't you listen? My name is McMenton. It's me, you are thief. It's my grocery store.
Constable, what is this disturbance at the back of the court?
My lord, this man says his name is McMenton and that he's the owner of the grocery store.
Ask him to come forward to the witness box, please. Can you help us, Mr. McMenton?
And away, my lord.
Very well. Take the oath, please. After that, Mr. Adams will examine you.
I swear by Almighty God that the evidence I shall give to this court will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Mr. McMenton, did anything out of the ordinary happen to you last month?
It did indeed. I own a grocery business in Stanton. Didn't do too badly one way and another. I was in there one day...
Can you tell us, please, which day this was?
It was a Thursday, the 17th of last month.
Please continue.
Well, I was waiting around. It was a slack time of day, and in came a chap. I thought he was a customer. But he brought a cosh out and told me to hand over the money.
How did you react?
I yelled for help. He didn't take kindly to that and gave me a smack on the head. Things were all blurred after that. But when my head stops ringing, I find he's gone off with a suitcase of old clothes I'd got ready for the church mission fund and a few quid from the till.
Can you tell us at what time this incident took place?
I looked at my watch when it was all over and it said 2:20.
And how long before that would you estimate the robbery to have been?
Oh, say 5 minutes.
About 2:15.
Aye, that's the strength of it.
Thank you, Mr. McMenton.
When did you report the matter to the police?
I didn't, my lord.
Why not?
Well, it's like this. 3 years ago, I was robbed of £8, 10 shillings and 6. The beaks take one day, push it up to quarter sessions, 3 days in all. And all the time I had to hire someone to look after the shop. That cost me a fiver, and he helped himself to groceries as well. Something like £10 down I was for reporting the loss of £8. Never again, I says. Next time you keep your mouth shut unless they pinch you something over £1,000.
How does it happen you are here in court today?
I read about the case in the papers. Saw a photo of a bloke called Clover and wondered if it was the same boy.
Do you identify Clover as the man who attacked you?
I do, and I don't.
Kindly be more explicit.
I think it's him, but you know how a thing like this happens all over before you know it started, and you're not certain of anything. I reckon it was him all right, but I wouldn't like to swear to it.
How have you been able to leave your shop today?
Oh, the wife is looking after it.
Why couldn't she have done so after the first robbery?
Ah, she was away on holiday. Has to have a holiday, she does, or she gets all nervy.
When you read of the robbery which took place on the 17th and thought you might be able to identify Clover, why didn't you inform the police of what you knew?
It didn't seem to me to matter which job they nailed him on. All's one and the same, I said to myself. And if he's gone down for one job rather than the other, what's the difference?
Your conduct has been little short of scandalous. Will you cross-examine, please, Mr. Pratt?
Do you know to what blood group you belong, Mr. McMenton?
Blood group? Oh, I can't tell you offhand, but it's down in my little book. If I get knocked over by a car or something, it seems to be much better if...
Answer the question.
Yes, my lord. I've got it here somewhere. Always carry it. You never know, do you? Here it is. In the front with my license number and all that. Yes. My blood is Group O.
Good night, old daddy.
Hello, Clover.
What a day, Gogo. So you worked today. Got all of us off, scot-free. I knew you could do it. Oh, let's have that packet of fags. My throat's aching for one. Thanks, Gogo. Me and the boys here's going to have a party. Coming along. Everything you want. Girls, champagne. People do me a good turn, and I does the same for them any time.
What about Jane?
Jane? Oh, who's Jane? I don't know no broad by that tap.
My daughter.
Oh, you got a little girl? Now, ain't that clever of you?
Clover, I got you off.
Sure, you did that thing. They gave you ulcers doing it, didn't it? You'd rather see me go down the line for a lifer. I ain't forgetting what you said when I first asked you for help.
But the rules.
They don't mean nothing to you. You ain't kept to the rules, have you?
No.
Oh, why start shouting about them?
When I saw you the first time, I...
You ate in my guts. You was happy to tell me to take a walk across the sea with a chunk of iron around me middle. You've been paid to get me and the others off, so what are you yelling about?
You promised me Jane would come home safely if I managed to get you off.
Look at him, boys. Wouldn't take much to get him down on his hands and knees, praying to us. You're lucky I'm a kind bloke with a soft heart. If I wasn't, I'd see your little girl started a different kind of life to the one you was thinking she might. But I'm forgiving, ain't I? You'd agree with that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You go on, Go-Go, and soon you'll have her back. As I thank you, like you was pleased and grateful to me.
Thank you very much.
I like to see someone who's humble enough to be proper grateful. So long, Go-Go.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
Yes?
The judge asked me to speak to you. He wonders if you'd be kind enough to go along and see him.
Now?
Yes, please, sir. I believe you wanted to see me, Judge.
Yes. Williams, ask them to be kind enough to have a car ready in 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Adams, for a great number of years, I have been very proud of the fact that I was first a member of the English Bar, then of the English Bench. I have believed both the bench and the bar to be without parallel elsewhere in the world because of the sense of honor and devotion with which members of them carry out their duties. Today it has been my misfortune to discover that, contrary to all I have hitherto believed, not every member of the bar is so jealous of the reputation he and his profession enjoy.
I don't quite understand you, Judge.
From time immemorial, Mr. Adams, counsel have been in a position of trust in which, did they so wish, they could pervert the course of justice. A sense of honesty and faith has always in the past made it quite unnecessary to guard against any abuse of this position. Today you have shown me that we can no longer rely purely on a sense of honor.
Are you suggesting...
The three men who have just been tried were guilty of the offense with which they were charged and would normally by now have received heavy sentences of imprisonment. That they were not is because they were able to buy your advice.
That's not true.
The course of the conduct of your case was changed between Friday and today. The way in which the false evidence was given today clearly made certain that the prisoners would go free, yet would be unable to be charged with any other offense. Your advice was first class, Mr. Adams. But I shall make it my duty to see that no matter how much you were paid for it, you will think it dearly bought. You may go, Mr. Adams.
Well?
I got them off.
Oh.
Steady. They've promised to send Jane back safely.
When?
As soon as possible.
Oh, David. How did you do it?
By talking.
It was a miracle.
I'd hardly call it that.
I said you were a failure, David. How wrong can one be?
The judge called for me afterwards.
To congratulate you.
To tell me I was the first Judas at the bar.
Oh. Do you think they'll have fed Jane properly?
Have a drink?
Thank you. She has to watch her diet or she gets those spots.
All girls get spots at her age.
Shouldn't she be here now?
I don't know.
They are releasing her tonight, aren't they?
I hope so.
What do you mean? Why didn't you make certain?
Gwen, I've done everything I can, and I've just about had it. We've simply got to be patient. She'll come.
9:30. She's not coming this evening.
We don't know where she's coming from. If they've kept her out of London, it'll take some time for her to get here.
You told me you thought they had her in London.
That's not what I said.
Yes, you did. Why are you denying it now? Do you know something you're hiding from me?
Nothing.
Have you been lying to me all this time?
No.
Do you swear you haven't?
Yes.
Oh, David, if
yes. Come and see.
Hello. I'm hungry.
Oh, Jane.
What's in the fridge? Why is it still broken down?
Jane. Did they treat you all right?
Oh, not bad. It was better than school, but there wasn't enough to eat. I tell you, I'm hungry.
A table for one, sir.
No, thanks. Where's the party?
What party, sir?
The private one, a man called Clover.
I doubt if the ladies and gentlemen will wish to be disturbed, sir.
They'll get over it. Treasley's the name. Detective Inspector Treasley. Now, come on, where are they? Oh, in there, eh? Evening, Clover. Evening, Casco. Green. Enton. Oh, yes. Your post. Been inside twice. Well, now we know the fourth man on the bank job.
What are you doing here?
Looking around.
Well, go look somewhere else. Here, Casco, you're the mouthpiece. Put a skites under him.
Something wrong, Inspector?
Why?
Wonder what you were doing here. This is a private party.
Celebrating something?
Yeah, too true. We're celebrating the way we made fools of you splits.
Inspector, you can't be here on an official visit now, can you?
I wouldn't be certain exactly how to describe it.
I'm not sure you've even got the right to be here.
I shouldn't worry about that aspect of things.
Who asked you to push your oar in?
No one actually asked me.
Then sharp.
Not just yet.
Clear out.
No, no, no. As I've always said, when voices begin to rise, it's time to sit down and have a drink. Here, Inspector, come and have a glass of bubbly. It's good stuff. Best the place has to offer. Rosie, you don't mind moving, do you?
Oh, glad to get away.
Ah, there you are, Inspector.
Cheers. Wish I could afford such luxuries.
Yeah. If you was wised up, you could afford it. Take me. I'm smart. Just done a job worth 15,000. I got money to spend.
Of course.
I thought you was real smart, didn't you? All of you when you nabbed us. You was dumb. Couldn't put us inside, could you?
Come, come, Inspector. Let's not disagree over old history. Drink up and have some more of the bubbles of life.
Thank you.
Now that we're all friendly again, tell us why you're here.
Well, my presence, as they would say in official circles, is not unconnected with the bank job.
Well, the one the boys were tried for.
The very one.
Looking for the money.
Not primarily.
Then what?
I'm still interested in the boys who did it.
Well, this isn't any use coming here, is it?
No.
These boys are in the clear. There isn't anybody can touch them.
Why not?
They've been tried, and a jury of honest men and women found them not guilty. I'm not a clever lawyer, but I do know a little about the law.
Obviously, from the way you got this lot off.
Inspector, you've got to leave the boys alone. Take them to court again, and what happens? Say you're the prosecuting bloke and you want to charge these boys with a bank job, right?
Right.
Right, I'm defending counsel. I rise to my feet, like this. My lord, I say very respectfully and bow a little to show my feelings for the judge. My lord, I plead outre fore qui.
What's that mean?
Acquitted already.
Rosie, shut up.
The boys, I say, have already been tried for this offence and found not guilty. And under our very fine system of law, no man may twice be put in peril for the same offence. The judge turns and addresses you. Mr. Inspector, he says, the plea is outre fore qui. How do you say to that? Oh, dear, you say I am.
I say that you allowed for everything but a desperate counsel, ready to gamble. I say that Adams spoke to Brain, and from what he saw, he was ready to gamble that Brain wouldn't live very long. Brain didn't. He died yesterday. And the post-mortem shows he suffered from an abscess of the brain due to an infected clot of blood, the result of the head injuries received during the bank robbery.
It doesn't matter. Ultra fire key.
An acquittal on a charge of robbery with violence, Mr. Casco, is, if you continue to remember your law correctly, no answer to a subsequent indictment for murder, because the charge is based on a new fact. The death of the person who was injured. Come on, Clover.
That was Counsel for the Defense, dramatized by Felix Felton from the novel by Jeffrey Ashford. The cast was as follows. Clover, James Kenny, David Adams, William Eagle, Mr. Justice Leeming, Carlton Hobbs, Gwen Adams, June Tobin, Mr. Casco, Norman Shelley, Miss Amelia Weston, Joan Hickson, Detective Inspector Dreesley, Hayden Jones, Mr. Pride, William Peacock, William Brain, Keith Williams, Mrs. Brain, Mary O'Farrell, Mr. McMenton, Douglas Storm, Mrs. Ash, Diana Olson, Jane Adams, Anna Bentinck. Other parts were played by members of the BBC Drama Repertory Company, and the play, which was recorded, was produced by Charles Lefeu.